Morning, folks. Trust you're all well and blessed. You've had a really good week. This is a strange way to do church, but it's the only way we can do it. I know that we'd love to meet physically, but this is the next best thing. Kind of sat here feeling a little bit frustrated because you know what I'm like when I'm speaking. I like to move around a little bit, and I really just feel as though my feet have been nailed to the floor. But anyway, looking forward to this morning. And what can we say about this virus? Wow, it's been pretty devastating. It's really changed how we do life. I'm just looking now at some of the things that are coming up on my iPad. New changes every day. This virus has taken lives, and it's affected all of us in how we do life. It's affected families and communities and towns and islands and countries. And we hear every day of what's going on around the world, and we need to know what's going on because it really affects how we pray. And this morning, because we're usually bombarded by all this news, and we catch it with the news every day, this morning what I'd like us to do is to just focus on Jesus, the one who has all authority and power. The one who is high and lifted up, the one who has been exalted above principalities and powers. I know just a read from Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. It says these words, "He is the image of the invisible God, he's the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." This virus has got knees, and at some point it will buckle. Just over the last few weeks and months, we've been looking at encounters with Jesus, people who met Jesus in the book of John. And in doing that, we've also looked at some of the statements that Jesus has made that didn't really make any sense at that time. And there seem to be always dire situations, but Jesus always did something miraculous during these times. Remember Peter, when he said to Peter, "Throw out your net into the deep and you'll catch." If we look at Martha, when he said to Martha and the folks around, "Remove the stone." And also a few weeks ago when we looked at John chapter 9, and we looked at the blind man and the instruction that Jesus gave him that seemed a little bit bizarre. And so when we look at the life of Jesus, he was always in control of every situation that he were in, whether it were over demons, over death, over nature. Even in Mark chapter 4, he stood on a boat and he rebuked the wind and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And so when we look at this, at today's climate, and we look at the devastation of this virus around the planet, and in comparison to the power and the glory and the beauty of Jesus Christ, I do believe, like it says in the Old Testament, that the enemy meant it for evil, but God allowed it for good. And I believe that God himself is going to bring something incredible out of this, something that only God can do. And that we just need to keep our eyes upon him. And so a little bit later on, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 4. I'd like to encourage us, because for many people, it's a time of worrying, uncertainty, and of panic and of fear. And I want us to look at what God says about that. But before we do that, I'd like us to just move into two songs. These two songs are all to do with magnifying God and being in his presence. And when we're in his presence, our fears kind of melt away and they dissolve. And the second song is all talking about our identity in who he says that we are in him. So let's just continue to worship and to praise him in these two songs.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring. The day in your
In my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know.
Oh, you say I am yours,
taking all I have, and now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God. You'll have every victory.
Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll start at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men that the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is a word that never changes. It's relevant for every day. It's relevant for every generation. Why is that? Because we're very good. In fact, sometimes we can be experts at worrying and being anxious and being full of fear. These kind of things, they rob us, they drain us, they drain us of our energy, they sap our lives, and we're often living in fear and scared and worried. And in times like we're going through now, when people have built their lives on shaky foundation, when things happen, it really is a bit of a leveling. It really puts things into perspective. What we're going to be looking at just now is an antidote to worry. What do we do when stress and fear really comes in like a flood? And what we're going to be looking at here is something pretty special. It's one of my favourite portions of the Bible. Because to be honest, all that you and I have learned over the years is now kind of... it's beginning to maybe hit home. It's a lot closer to home because of what we know, and now we have to put into practice what we actually what we believe and what we've been taught. So Psalm 91, Psalm 46, and other scriptures too. It really changes our whole prayer life and the depth of our trust in God. So I just want us to look a little bit about this first. Be anxious for nothing. We'll find here it talks about, as well as it goes on, in everything by prayer and with supplication, with thanksgiving. The prayer and thanksgiving really have to go together. It's something that when they combine together, it unlocks us. We become free in being able to cast our burdens on the Lord, being able to trust him better, because there's a thanksgiving within our prayers. And we often find it's very difficult when we're not thankful and we're not trusting him. We can pray, but it's as though sometimes the thanksgiving part we struggle to do, because really deep within we struggle with, is he capable of doing things that I'm asking him to do? Is he able to do them? Well, of course he is. But this is what it's talking about here, is that the whole thanksgiving part. And when you and I magnify Jesus, it is all that we can see. So instead of the things that bug us, that worry us, that concern us, that make us fearful, that causes anxiety, instead of them becoming big, is that we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. And then our prayers change. Our whole prayer life changes. Our faith changes. We begin to thank him not just for who he is, but we begin to praise him for what he's actually doing. And so this is where the prayer and the thanksgiving really dwell together. It kind of releases faith within us. Let me come to verse 7. And it says, And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension or goes way beyond our understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, this is really important, because here when we do the first part, this is the second part. So as you and I begin to pray with supplication and thanksgiving, we begin to rejoice in God and begin to trust in him. The second part is that it's then that the peace of God, which goes way beyond our understanding, begins to guard here and begins to guard here. These are the most two vulnerable parts of our lives. Our minds, this is the battleground. This is where anxiety and worry and things where it saps our energy, it drains us emotionally. Sometimes even during the day, we've just had enough because we've got too much going off up here, and the enemy will always have a go. This is the battleground. And then we've got the heart, the pressure. And we know people who have struggled here, you know, physically. So these two places, the heart, or the seat of our emotion, is what the Bible speaks about. It's what we dwell upon. It's what we allow in. And in verse 8, we're going to come to that in a moment, because God wants us to dwell upon what's right and what's true, the things that he thinks about. So first of all, this guarding our heart and guarding our mind, that it's the whole peace of God, kind of, we're riddled in it. It's guarding us. But you and I, we have to learn to do the first things. Now, what I want to do is I want to share something with you that's quite personal. And this was when I lived abroad. Church had got quite big. And I was kind of carrying a lot. And God kind of dropped a verse into my heart, if you like. And it's 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. And it's a verse that I've known for a long time, but not in depth and not really knowing its meaning. And this is the beauty about God in his word, when he begins to speak to us at different times within our lives and allowing his word to overlap our fears and anxiety. So we begin to live his word and we begin to live his truth in the power of his spirit. And it does, it overrides all the worries and all the cares. But this is the verse, it says this: casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And I began to study that, I began to dissect it, I began to pray it. And so I did a little bit of digging about this verse, and I remember looking in a book, and in this book there were two pictures that kind of linked into this verse. These two pictures were trying to explain just this little verse. And when it comes down to casting all your cares, I struggled with that. There were just little things that I gave to God, thinking that I could handle things. I were the man. I were the pastor. I can carry things. And this little verse, it just said, cast all your cares upon him, all your anxiety upon him. Why? Because he cares for you. And it took me quite a while for this to sink into my life. But these two pictures really helped. One of the pictures showed a local man in the Middle East sat under his olive tree, full of olives, which is a sign of prosperity. It's in the middle of the day, and he's watching his wife and his children play. It's just a beautiful picture of blessing and of peace. And I really got that. And then there were another one. And in this picture was, again, a local man. Again, it was a beautiful picture. But what he was doing, he was placing a large blanket on a donkey. And I thought, what's that about? And I began to pray about that. And then as I look back now, I know that God revealed this truth to me. And I want to share it with you because I think it's really, really important in how you and I learn to leave things with God and not bring things back when we say amen. the weight of the blanket on a donkey is nothing. It's not a burden for the donkey. But for me in the Middle East, with a blanket on me, very hot, very uncomfortable, makes me sweat, makes me all edgy. And that's what our worries, that's what they do to us. The things that we wrestle with, the things that we get concerned about, our cares, the things that nobody else knows about, things that sap our energy and play upon our mind. These are the things. And sometimes we think about these too much. We try and work them out. And then we think about praying about them instead of just praying about them. And so we're still dwelling upon all these things. And God began to show me that the weight of the blanket on the donkey is nothing. The weight of all of my anxious cares and all the things that bother me, when I leave them with God, they're not a problem to God. They're not heavy on him. But when I hold on to them, then they're heavy on me. And they begin to affect me. And that's what God began to teach me, of how to cast all my cares upon him, because he cares for me. And as he began to show me, it really made a lot of sense, that when I'm carrying things, it changes me. It makes me frown. I don't think straight. I've lost this peace, because all of a sudden what I've done is I've allowed all these things to become the main thing in my thinking, instead of him and kingdom being the main thing. And so this beautiful little verse is, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. The other thing that God began to teach me at that time was that for many people, we tend to put the blanket on the donkey, or we tend to cast our burdens and our cares upon the Lord, but then we sort of pull the threads. In other words, we're used to worrying. We're used to all these anxious thoughts. It's part of our life. We've done it all the time. And so what we do, we put the blanket on the donkey, but then we pull the threads, because sometimes we don't know what to do, because we've always done this worrying stuff. And God's not made us to do this. It's too heavy. And yeah, I was so, so blessed as a result of that. And I keep having to relearn this, keep having to just know how to cast my burdens on the Lord. And I never, ever realized it before. But when it talks about casting all your care on him, why? Because he cares for you. And as I look here at Philippians chapter 4, this is exactly what Paul's talking about. So to have his peace guard our heart and our mind. You'll find in verse 8, it talks about the things that we should be dwelling upon, because they're the things that God dwells upon. So he wants to develop his mind in our mind. And then we come to verse 9. And this is that when we do this, at the end of verse 9, it says, and the God of peace will be with you. I find that very comforting. I find that peaceful in itself, that the Prince of Peace, the God of Peace, the God who gives us his peace, is kind of laid it out for us. So that's what I want to encourage you with. There's such a lot that we could worry about. There's such a lot that we can get anxious about regarding this virus and the way that it's affected our lives. But what I encourage us to do is just to not let that become so big that it blocks our view of who Christ is. And I would urge you to ask the Lord to teach you how to cast your care upon him, so you will know his care for you. We know that here that prayer is a powerful thing. Verse 7, it speaks about being in Christ Jesus. So this isn't a formula. This isn't one of those things where do A, B, and C and it'll work. This is all to do with the relationship. This is all to do with being in Christ. And when we learn these things, it says, and the God of peace will be with you. And it all starts with prayer and thanksgiving. And prayer is a powerful thing. And I'm just going to hand over now to Aubrey, who's going to pray for the fishing community on the island, and also Gordon, who will pray for those on the front line, especially working in the hospital.
We're going to pray this morning for fishermen and their families and all those whose livelihoods have been so badly affected in the current crisis. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you are sovereign over all things on the land and upon the sea. For you are the one who can still the storm to a whisper. You are the one who can bind the restless wave. We thank you that all things are under your control. Even in this time of great uncertainty and unprecedented turmoil, we thank you that you are still bigger than all of these things. So we thank you that we are able to come to you today in all of our need, knowing that you hear our prayers, and that if we in simple faith call upon you, then you will answer. We pray particularly for all those in authority who are faced with making huge decisions in these days and in this time of crisis. Give them guidance and wisdom to know what to do for the best, so to protect and care for all the citizens of our land. We pray for our fishermen and so many others in different professions whose livelihoods have been so seriously affected and in some cases have been reduced to nothing. Give them strength as they try to provide for their families and try to make ends meet. We remember those who are still able to fish to some extent, but are anxious as to whether there will be any markets when they come to shore again. We thank you for the measures that have been put in place by the government to provide for those whose incomes have been decimated. And we ask that wisdom, fairness, and good judgment would prevail, that all who are in need would get what they deserve and what they require. We remember charities and voluntary groups who seek to bring comfort and relief to those most in need. Give them help and guidance as they seek to operate in such challenging times and difficult conditions. Help us all to do whatever we can to support those around us. In these days of crisis, may everyone have the food, the shelter, and the comfort that they need. And may they at all times look to you, the giver of all life and the provider of every good gift. May the hearts of many be turned to you in these days. For we ask our prayers in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'm Gordon, one of the deacons at the Lerwick Baptist Church. I've been asked to do this, I suspect, because I'm an NHS employee. In Shetland at the moment, we've had a number of cases positive for COVID. A few have been admitted and one required intensive care in Aberdeen. When we have one of these patients, it is a huge drain on the resources of a small hospital. There may not be many in hospital at the moment with COVID, but there's a lot of work going on, planning and building work, looking at equipment and supplies. There's a lot of training going on of nurses and other staff, some staff changing roles. And at the same time, as all this going on, there's inevitably staff sickness and self-isolation as well to complicate the picture. So we want to pray for our NHS staff and other carers who are involved in being first response to this outbreak. So let's pray together. Father, you know all things. You know our needs even before we ask. But you still ask us to come before you with our needs as a children before a loving Father, so that we might know you more, so that we might see you at work, so that we might see you answering our prayers and changing things because of our prayers, and assuring us of your love and your presence. So we do want to bring those we know and those we don't know working in the hospital and around us in the NHS today into your presence. We pray for doctors and nurses and pharmacists and physiotherapists and other care workers who are working very hard at the moment. Many who are in the front line, many dealing with ill patients, and others who are spending a lot of time planning and thinking best how we might respond to this crisis. We think of the different support workers too, the secretaries, the porters, administrative staff, cleaners and cooks. They are all working very hard at the moment, and they all need your help. They need your strength. Would you encourage them? And may they know your presence. Help them when they're tired, when they're struggling, when they are anxious and when they are worried. May they know your help and your presence. And we think too of those working in the community, for all those general practitioners, district nurses, and of course the many, many care workers who are looking after individuals from day to day, many of whom are self-isolating and locked away and afraid to come out and missing social interaction. We pray that you would help our care workers to bring comfort and to see the needs, to remember all those who may need their help so that nobody gets missed out, and continue to encourage and bless these care workers also, that they too might not be afraid or worried, but might know your presence and your peace. So we bring these prayers to you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Aubrey and Gordon. You know, prayer is really powerful because we speak to God who isn't limited in love or power or grace. This next song we're going to be looking at, it's our last song, but it's one of my favourite songs. And these are some of the words in it, or some of the lines. It says, Do I feel the world is broken? I do. Do I feel the shadows deepen? I do. And I truly believe that all the darkness, even my own, won't stop the light from getting through. The lyrics in this song are very powerful because it really highlights and reveals and shows that the greatness of Jesus. It's a picture of Revelation chapter 5. Of there's no one worthy enough to open this scroll, and in this scroll is everything that is that has happened in this world from beginning to end is written in this scroll, and there's nobody worthy enough to open it apart from Jesus. So let this song speak to you. It speaks about him ruling and reigning over all. He always has done, and he always will.
Seal the night.
He certainly is worthy of all praise and honour and glory. Let me just finish with a doxology or a benediction from Numbers chapter 6. It says these words, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace." Stay safe, folks. You know that you are blessed, and have a great week.